Good morning. Welcome to session 50, using digital development to maximize giving, engagement, and time with GiveCentral. My name is Sue Prashan, and I'm with the Diocese of San Jose, and we've partnered with GiveCentral since 2018.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough good about this company and Bridget and their team. And that's not paid, by the way. they've really helped us grow our program. I'm an annual appeals manager for the diocese, and it's been a great, and it was our saving grace during COVID. So, little PR there. So let's start by saying the prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower us and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is the Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Bridget Daly, the Vice President of Business Development, and Vern CB, Senior Account Manager.
All right. Sue, thank you very much. So this is a three-hour PCI compliance session here, so everybody settle in. No, thank you very much for your attention today. We really appreciate everybody here. Bridget, if you wouldn't mind moving up the slide, just the agenda will not have PCI in it, don't worry. But introduction. So Bridget Daly, our Vice President of Business Development, with 20 years now in the area of working with parishes and dioceses at online giving. Myself, Vern Sebi, 20 years also working with nonprofits in various roles of helping them increase engagement and donation activity. GiveCentral is an organization. We're comprised of a team of technology professionals as well as consulting professionals, and we work now with 1,400 nonprofits, many of them Catholic parishes, about 50 Catholic dioceses across the country, supporting the online giving portion of annual appeals, capital campaigns, parish giving. So, you know, we live and breathe in this environment every day. So that's a little about us and about GiveCentral. So what we plan to really focus on today is a topic that's really come on really strongly in the past 12 months, and that's AI. And as we thought about this as a topic, because there's a lot of interest in it, it's really, how much of it is really a gimmick? We've all now in our web searches, whether you Google or whatever tool you're using, you're used to now at the very top seeing those AI-generated results, and I think you'd agree some of it is kind of gimmicky, but there's also some real value. So the theme that we've really come up with is AI, is it a gimmick or is it gold? And there's a little of both, and we'll share, some of the gold, what we think is some of the gold that we found, with you today. So we're going to cover that. We've also done a lot of work over the past 12 months of becoming much more, focused on integrating with, the databases out there. You know, any affiliation we have, whether it's a parish or a diocese, there's always a database that plays a vital role, and we've always prided ourselves in being database agnostic, but there are definitely databases that are easier to work with than others, and I think you all know that too. So we've made some progress and some new developments with that we want to share with you. And then lastly, some of the AI tools that we're going to talk about and share, as well as some other innovations in just other donor invitations that can really be more tech-enabled. And so we've made some strides in that area that we want to share with you. So those, that's really the agenda that we've put together. Of course, always with your questions, whether it's in the middle of a particular topic that we're working on, just raise your hand, or at the end, certainly with questions. So just kind of where we're at now is a little further deep dive into the gimmick or gold. So right now, if you look at least in our world, how we see AI being incorporated, certainly customer service comes up as one of the first areas that most organizations think about. So chatbots have become a little chattier with AI. They're learning about how to respond, and our organization, as well as some other organizations that you're probably dealing with, have learned, you know, there's the larger universe of AI that can touch anything from the best fishing spots in Louisiana to you know, whether the Chicago Bears have the right quarterback. But you can also take a more focused approach and train an AI platform in your own organization. So we've done that like others. So we have an AI platform that can be focused strictly on all things GiveCentral and come up with a, you know, in some ways more elegant ways of answering questions. All focused on GiveCentral. So that's kind of a common AI that leads into FAQs, because you kind of know what kind of questions your folks are going to have in your organization. AI definitely helps with that. And then that leads into task automation. So we've come a long way in being able to put together sequences of common repetitive actions. AI is great for that. So, you know, those are some of the common areas that really very quickly many organizations have moved into. As it comes specifically on the development side, then using some of that knowledge, certainly automating reminders. We have some of our clients who send out birthday reminders or birthday greetings. And again, that's a very common task, easy to automate in an AI environment. As well as drafting donor letters. I mean, many of our clients, and we experience this too, an AI tool may get you 80% there in a donor-focused communication. You can polish it and kind of finish up the rest of the way. And then certainly the automation of setting reminders of various tasks to be done. And all of the... A lot of this had already been done. The AI really helps make a lot of those processes a little more streamlined. So we kind of put that into the category of not necessarily gimmicky, but very common practices. And then we decided, well, there's got to be more to it, and there's got to be more gold in ways of using AI. And Bridget is going to cover the gold part.
Thanks, Vern. Can you guys hear me? Okay, yes. So then we thought, and my counterpart on the tech side, his name is Vish. I think some of you know him. He has a true passion for AI, just in his personal time as well as professional. And he thought, but, you know, what if we could get AI to do more? And he, you know, started listing out different ideas. Write and personalize donor emails. So not just a generic, you know, dear donor or dear, you know, person, and then you have to take it and fill it out. But what if it could really customize that, knowing some of the information about you as a donor? What if it could then send those emails, right? So you could use ChatGPT, right, to write an email, but then you have to take that copy, move it into whatever your email tool is. What if it could take you through the entire process, you know, customize that email, send it, track the analytics, right? It takes you from, you know, A to Z on that whole process. What if it could help you create custom reports? Every tool, whether it's an online giving tool, database, anything, is going to have a reporting module. Some are better than others, but sometimes you have to take multiple reports and put them together, no matter how great or customizable that reporting tool is. You know, sometimes there's VLOOKUPs or pivot tables, and, you know, people's eyes are glazing over because nobody wants to do any of that. So what if you could have the tool create custom reports based on language that you're asking it? So instead of using actual code or SQL queries to ask your questions, just say, hey, show me this, show me that, right? And I'll demo some of that here in a little bit. What if you could then visualize those trends, right? What if there's graphs or charts and the bishop comes and he, or the pastor, and he says, hey, show me year over year, how has our giving gone up, or how has our participation in mass gone up, or how, you know, has it gone down? You know, show me, visualize that for me, right? So you could take that data, put it into like a PowerPoint or, you know, whatever your tool of choice is for charting. But what if AI could just do that for you in whatever your preferred graph methodology is? What if it could help follow up on failed payment methods, right? That's a huge pain point for organizations. You know, a lot of times donors just kind of let that go. They may or may not ever follow up on it. You know, sometimes there's tools available to help with that, or auto update, things like that. But what if the reporting on that could be made easier and then take it through into a request to the donor to follow up on that? What if it could provide detail on donors and transactions? From our customer service team, a very common question is, hey, who set up this gift? Who started this gift, right? Because a donor might call and, you know, have a question. How did this, you know, I have a $50 charge. Where did that come from? What if you could just ask it, you know, who set up this gift for this person? And it would just tell you, give you all those details. What if it could create assist in creating some customized links, right? We've talked many, many years about pearls and customized links and things like that. And that's not what we're going to go over today. But what if the AI tool could help you create those, right? Instead of coming to our team or to whoever you're working with on different pearls, what if the AI could do that for you? What a huge time saver that would be, not just for you, but for your printer, for, you know, your entire office, right? And I'm going to kind of go out and demo. So is this one on? Oh, good. Okay, great. Again, if you guys have any questions, please let me know as we're going through. So we have a system that we... Can you guys hear me if I just talk like this? No? Okay. Is this better? Okay, thank you. We have a system we've created called the Give Central Guru, and what it does is it allows your organization to query any data that we have in Give Central using plain text. It converts it to a SQL query, which what that does is it goes and it looks for that information in our database, and it compiles it in the way that you're looking for that data, and it sends it back. So it sends it back, and you can download it as a CSV, and there you go. It also does content creation. So I have some questions I'm going to ask it here. Oops. I'm using Vern's computer, so bear with me for a second. I'm a Mac user here.
Keyboard's the same.
Yeah. Okay, so I wrote, if you can't see it, write me an email to thank donors for their Easter gift, right? So it also can help you with content creation. So from here, I think I've timed myself out. I'm so sorry, you guys. And so it'll go out, it looks at all of our content. We've generated our own content. We've pulled content from other Catholic websites, content generators, USCCB, those sort of resources to pull in. So it's specific to our donors and our donor base. And so here's the content. And if you want to go ahead and send it, you can click here and send it through our own email. I wanted to ask some data-related questions. Okay, so my question here was, provide the top 10 donors with their giving amounts and email addresses. So what this is going to do, it's going to aggregate over the lifetime of my account, because I haven't asked for a specific time frame. It'll go out, query the database, aggregate all of that by donor, and send it back. So we've got George Washington giving $25. He doesn't have an email address, which makes sense. So if we go back, we can see here, you know, Vern and I are at the top. You know, some other, you know, Kate, Patrick, our other team members that are here. So it's provided that information. Again, that came back within seconds. So that went out, queried the entire database for our, I'm in a test system right now. If I wanted to visualize that, I could do that here. I could download that as a CSV, or again, I can go ahead and send those folks an email. So if I clicked that visualization option, this part is newer for us. It shows as a bar graph. You will be able to choose colors, different chart options, things like that that you might want on the visualization side. So I just asked it how much has been raised to date in 2024. So it'll go out, tally all of that. It will only look at successful transactions, right? We've had to train it on the difference between a failed, a successful, a refund, a reject, right? We've had to train all of that. If you ask it, hey, how many donors do I have for this? It will give you unique donors, right? Because the difference between donor and profile in GiveCentral are two different things. So we had to train the AI on learning those different aspects. So I've asked it here, which zip code has made the most donations, right? So any data point that we have in GiveCentral can be queried on. We can add those two things together. If I had been asked to do that data, to find this information with a client, I would have to go pull a transaction report, download it, filter it by zip code, and then, you know, add it up, sum it in Excel, right? And so that's fine. But I just asked it, right? And it went out, it found the right information. We look every night at all the queries that we are running throughout the day, whether it's our team, whether it's some people who are kind of beta testing this for us, and we're running at about 96-97% accurate on the data coming back, which is really, really phenomenal from an AI-based data query tool. It can also help you with reporting. So for those of you who have to run reports on an automated basis, or maybe you want just run me the last 45 days, run me a transaction report. Run me a transaction report for the last 45 days, right? So it knows what today is, and it knows how to count to 45. So you can just click here, view it, and it will pull up that transaction report for you within GiveCentral. So you no longer have to go set your parameters, filters. Oh, whoops, I did the wrong filter. You can just type what you're looking for, and it will pull up that information for you, right? So this isn't just transaction report. This is your deposit report for your you know, finance team, right? They want that deposit report on the 5th of every month. You know, they can just ask for it now, or they can receive it automatically. But this is another way to do that. Another thing that Vish and his team have been working on is the prompt engineering behind this. So what I'm asking it right now is provide a list of donors who have donated more than $1,000 along with email addresses. There's not going to be many of us. It's a test system. Vern and I are super generous. We'll be looking for those tax letters. So it's found that, again, you know, this account here has 10 years of data in it, and it is going out querying all of that, tallying it up, and spitting it back. So you know, that was a really quick, return. If I want to go from here and I actually want to send the email, what it's doing right now is it's using GiveCentral's own email tool and creating an email campaign for myself with that information. If I want to go ahead and send it, it's pulling that information over. And then when it loads, it will also ask me if I want to create an email. I can use AI to do that. Again, it's using our own AI to help create that email. You will also be able to choose your own template. So if you have a template for all your, you know, your major donors or anybody who's given $1,000 or more, you can use that. You can use that tool here. Any questions about this? Any? Yeah. Yeah. I will talk about that. Yeah, I will talk about that. So what I've shown now, that's a great question. I can clarify that. So what I've shown now is GiveCentral's own data. So what we're querying today, if you have the GiveCentral Guru, is anything that is in GiveCentral. So that would be your online gifts. But we are working actually with a client right now to pull the data over, so I will get into that. Yeah. Any other questions before I move on? So then, I mean, we've gone through 4 to 5 months of our own team vetting this, clients beta testing it. Again, we've found this to be very accurate. So we'll be rolling it out to clients to use here shortly. But Vish is always thinking, right? So then it's like, okay, you know, it's cool, but what else could it do? You know, if it can run reports and we can just type, you know, for a capital campaign I was working on, they asked me, hey, show me all my pledges that, are set to fulfill in 2024, who've had a failed payment and hasn't fixed it, right? That's a pretty complicated query. You know, if somebody had asked me that before, I would be running reports and mashing them together to figure that out. The goal that she had was to make sure that if somebody was set to fulfill in 24, that we were getting that failed payment prior to fiscal year ending. And so in that case, I asked the guru, it spit out a CSV for me, and I went and I did my own reporting because I wanted to check it before I sent it to the client, and it was 100% accurate. So you can ask like very detailed questions, pull from multiple tables within GiveCentral to get the information you're looking for. So can it proactively send you reports? Like, yes, like of course. So right now we always have had the ability to email reports to people. But if you want to just say, hey, on the 5th of the month, send my finance officer, you know, this type of, you know, a deposit report, it's easier to just type that than it is to go into the report, set it up, decide, you know, there's none of that technical work needed. Send automatic customized thank you emails to donors. So this actually came up with a conversation, I'm not trying to pick on you, Jennifer, but with Jennifer Yardley, and she was working on a master's program and came back with the fact that if the donor is thanked within 48 hours of making the gift, they're much more likely to give again. That's a powerful statistic, right? It was exponentially higher probability that they would give again. But if somebody gives on a Friday night, that means they have to be thanked by Sunday night. So it's not 48 business hours, it's 48, just awake hours, right? So, you know, she and I got to spitballing, Vish is kind of working through this now. What if we could get the guru to do that, right? What if there was an email template set up already in GiveCentral that, you know, every, stewardship officer can customize, but what if there was a rule? Hey, within 48 hours of this transaction time, we automatically send an email this email to anybody $1,000 or less. Maybe if they're 1,001 and over, maybe you want to review it, right? Maybe 5,000 and over, you want to review it. You can set those, you know, what we're working on right now is setting those rules and parameters in place so that those sort of thank yous are done for you. Not when it hits your database, but when that transaction happens, right? So it truly is within that 48-hour time window. It's not 48 hours from when the database gets it, but 48 hours of that transaction occurring. Visuals for those internal reports, right? You saw the graph, so we're well on our way for that. But what if, you know, everybody has to create reports for the pastors, for bishops, for the, you know, finance councils, things like that, instead of, you know, making those annual reports kind of on your own, or, you know, many people have designers to help with that. What if, you know, during the year, you could set your parameters? Like, hey, on the first of each month, I need this report, right? You can have it start to automate those tasks for you so you can concentrate on other things, which, again, goes to routine tasks, right? Birthday follow-ups. If, you know, on the first of each month, I have a diocese who sends, you know, she goes in, pulls out her database, gets her list, she goes in and types, happy birthday, Bob, happy birthday, Bridget, you know, all this stuff. And that's really, you know, that's high touch, right? But that takes a lot of time. And maybe for your major donors, maybe you want to pull them out, give them a call or a text. But for the vast majority of people, you know, some sort of automated job can do that for you. So we've also now added birthday as a field in Give Central. So when they're filling out their gift, they can provide you their email address at the same time. This gets to your question a little bit. Pull data from whatever database you're using so you can query and see a complete picture. So yeah, I mean, that was an obvious next step for us when we had mastered our own data. We knew that we only saw a small picture of it. And for many organizations, that's becoming a bigger piece of the pie, but it's still a piece. It's not the full picture. So we are working with a client right now. Well, Suzanne is here, and we're getting files from them right now on a weekly basis, from Razor's Edge. So we have right now, we have all their 2024 data, 23, 22, and 2021 data. So we have kind of added that on in pieces, for ourselves. It is hot in here. Okay, I'm really happy because I'm like, I'm burning up here. okay, so we have all that and we've been pulling it over in pieces. And then again, training it on the difference between an online gift, a cash gift, a DAF gift, right? It has to learn all of that stuff. And then we're also working on, then pulling out, Cybunts, Libunts, you know, individuals, or hey, wealth engine pieces, right? That's all being held in your database. But that could be really, really helpful from, the guru's perspective, right? You can just go in and you can query whatever you're looking for without trying to use different reporting modules to pull that information out. So I'm not able to demo that today. It is live data or live client data, but it is, you're able to do the same thing. Just ask plain text questions. It goes out and it combines, you know, hey, give me Bridget's history of giving. And maybe I've given, you know, stock in the past, or, you know, real estate, you know, all those different sorts of things. And it combines them into one picture of the donor. You know, from there, really, that means that your systems have to be in sync, right? So you can't have, you know, right now, the way we're doing it, with Atlanta is we're pulling over files weekly. That's not going to be how it works moving forward. We're going to be using APIs to pull that information over from Razor's Edge. It's just right now we're pretty early stage testing on that. So really you need to have those systems in sync so that when you're pulling data, you're not pulling data that's a week old or a month old. You're pulling data that is truly up to date. Vern had mentioned a little earlier our work on APIs and different synchronizations. So we do this with all the organizations you see up here. Most prevalently, we're doing this with Camino, which is a database that Diocesan has, and then Razor's Edge Black Pod, which I know many of you in here are using. So what we're doing primarily with these organizations today is bringing the donor information over and donor ID matching, right? So that makes sure that we are not creating duplicate IDs, that the Bridget Daily record in Give Central matches to the Bridget Daily record in Razor's Edge or whatever database you're using, right? We want to make sure that works, because that is the whole, you know, the whole bread and butter of it. That your pledges are coming over, any new recurring gifts are coming over, all, you know, mapped through the API, whatever custom fields you have. I have clients who have very complicated data structures, so we're able to work within that, and then bring those payments over, right? It also keeps your data clean, eliminates duplicates, and then you're not pulling down files constantly, right? The risk with files too is that you might accidentally overlap a date range, right? So, you know, Jane is out sick one day and you didn't know that she already pulled for the 15th and you go in and pull for the 15th. And some databases will tell you, like, whoopsie, this is a duplicate. But not all will. But with an API, those checks are in place. And it really allows your team to use your, you know, best-in-class tools, right? You're getting best-in-class giving with whatever your chosen database is, and receive the benefit of having those as integrated systems. Where we see this going, really, is the ability to query donor information within the guru, right? Like wealth potential, sibunts and libunts, you know, down to donor level detail. Maybe you want to provide that back to your parishes. Like, hey, you know, last year Mike gave, you know, $10,000 in November, and here we're almost to the end of November and he hasn't given that gift yet, right? It can set up those sort of prompts and provide you those sort of that sort of information to then provide back to your parishes. Complete giving history. It also allows donors to have access to that history, right? So Give Central is a donor-centric system. Donors have profiles. They can log in. They can manage their gifts, their payment methods, addresses. I can have one profile and give to any Give Central organization. So if we have the cash and check information, if we have that, why not let them see it too, right? Like, why would their tax letters only show Give Central stuff? So we would allow that information to be displayed on the tax letters. They could see their scheduled gifts or history, all within Give Central, regardless of if they give online or not, which I think is pretty unique too, where if, you know, I've worked at Give Central for 12, almost 13 years, and my mom still gives checks, okay? So it's like, you know, support the cause here, Mom. But she wants to do what she wants to do, right? And if it's not broke, don't fix it. She's going to keep doing that. But it's like, maybe she wants access to seeing that sort of information in a profile. So she could still do that. She could still go down and pull tax letters, you know, things like that, that people are kind of antsy for in the beginning of January and February. This allows them to go in and manage that themselves. You know, another part to this is those who do give with cash or check, maybe you're doing a capital campaign, right? You can show their pledge, you know, hey, you know, Bridget pledged $10,000 over 5 years. Here's where you're at. Here's your balance. What if we also incorporated automatically our pearls, right? So those customized personal URLs, what if we could say, hey, Bridget, if you want to go ahead and complete your pledge, pay it off online, click here. And those are automatically generated for those donors. Same for our increased giving links, which allow people to increase their current recurring gifts without setting up a duplicate gift. And then a pledge to recurring or a new gift solicitation. What if we allow them to kind of self-help within their profiles? In a way, you know, right now most of that stuff is organization-led, right? You're sending out letters. You're sending out emails. It's less donor-driven. But I think a lot of people are looking to manage their own accounts a lot more. We're getting a lot more requests for, hey, I, you know, have a profile here and a profile here. Can you help me, you know, merge those together? So donors are really wanting to take ownership of their, you know, it's giving, but it's a financial aspect of their family. So they're wanting to take more ownership of that. Why not give them access to the full suite of offerings? All right, Fern, I'm going to let you go.
There's 2 hours left, so hang in there. No, this is really the final, kind of, new information we want to share with you. So we have had, and it's very common across because it's really required, any sort of automated online transaction, there has to be a receipt. So we've had receipts as long as there's been Give Central, and very quickly we, enabled the ability to customize those. So if they're not customized, it's a mundane communication from Give Central because we require an email. So there's always then just the, it's just the repeat of the transaction, what you gave, how much you gave, where you gave it to, what the transaction ID is. Pretty boring stuff, but we have to provide it. Donors always look at it because it's like, oh yes, I just did that. Is it the right amount? So we started to think, you know, as we try to re-examine a lot of the things we do, well, if these are always well-read, we customize them. So this, of course, this example that's on here is shamelessly set in promoting Give Central, but I, those of you who use the system know we can put the diocese of whomever up here, your logo. This contact information isn't going to be Give Central. It's going to be your diocese or your parish. So we've done that sort of work for a long time. So now what we've enabled these messages, since they're looked at, people will open them, very high open rates, why not provide a little bit more of the kind of donor ability that Bridget's talking about of managing your own profile. So in the example here, again, we're just recapping the fact that this was a big gift of a dollar that our colleague Kate in the back kindly donated back to her company, Give Central. But what we're offering here are a couple of, we call these smart links, so very similar to Pearl. So you can just open up that confirmation email. You click on update your payment method. You don't have to remember your username and password. It opens up your profile, and you can say, yeah, you know, now I have a different credit card, and I want to put that on there. I moved. I want to update my personal information. So I click that again. It just opens up the donor profile and I can update that information. But there's more. there are, depending upon the transaction that that donor has processed, maybe it's a pledge. And so when someone makes a pledge, as many of you know, then we send two confirmations. We thank them and recap the pledge that they've set up that you're going to be, you know, $100 for the next 5 years to this campaign. So we have that. But then add a link to say, if you click here, you can make this pledge gift recurring. Because many of our clients now, in joining this move to try to do less pledging and make it more recurring, are inviting donors to consider the possibility of not doing an annual pledge gift, but just making it recurring. So if these emails are going to be looked at and examined on a regular basis, why not put a link down there so the donor is thinking about it? They click on the link again. It opens up their profile. They can then convert their pledge gift to a recurring gift. Other things that you can put on there for the next 2 months of our confirmation emails, we want to promote the holiday gala that we always put on. And so we're going to put a reminder, hey, don't forget to sign up for our annual holiday gala and have a little registration link at the bottom. They click the link, they can register. So again, it's a way of further engagement of donors and really enabling what had been kind of a mundane confirmation email with the ability to be much more dynamic and really, carry more of the load of communicating and engaging with your donors. So this is kind of another expansion about that. So this is for those donors who are making recurring giving. So they're making a recurring gift, but occasionally you'll want to invite them, because in one way you set a recurring gift, you set it and forget it, but you're going to want to on occasion invite those recurring donors to consider increasing their gift. So again, you can include this sort of link. So this could be if you're communicating via email, this can be a link. If it's a letter, this can be a QR code. They scan the QR code, they click the link. Again, they open this smart, what we call a smart link. It already knows the amount that they've set up that's recurring, and it's just inviting them to, with a menu that will drop down here. If you want to do an amount, you want to do a percentage, it'll be there, so it makes it very easy for the donor to just click, select that, and then the next time that that gift is scheduled to be increased, it will increase based on the amount they've selected. So again, very easy. They don't have to remember their login information, and our clients who are using these are finding that there's a high rate of clients who have a recurring gift that will elect to increase that amount. Any questions?
Because it's so hot in here. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one thing, too, is we focus a lot on the giving aspects of this stuff, but there's really some neat aspects with regard, particularly to Guru and that, for the engagement side of things. So she talked a little bit at the beginning about, like, you can send a reminder on a birthday. But let's say we're fully integrated now with RE and with Camino and that stuff. Now you have, let's say, new visitors to the parish, and we've got a whole set of engagement tools. Every Monday you could send out a note to them, hey, you visited our church last Sunday. You know, would you be interested in learning more or sharing some interest things about the volunteer ministry? So we have some parishes doing this now, and they're getting like 20 new families a month to join the parish just because we're making it easy. And part of this goes beyond thinking about the AI thing to thinking about the fact that when someone is interested either in getting engaged with the appeal to make a gift or getting engaged with a parish to learn more, we've got 15 seconds. So the research shows after 15 seconds, more than 80% of the people are going to stop. So you got 15 seconds to get their attention. So then if you follow up, and how about in addition to saying a thank you for the gift, let's say on the anniversary of those that joined for like Christian initiation, you send them a note, you know, or someone passed in the family and you're tracking that information. So again, a lot of our Catholic universities have been great at this stuff over the years, but now we can make it as easy for both the parishes and the diocese to do the same thing, because you don't need to be an expert in RE. You don't need to be an expert in Camino. You can just ask it these kind of human questions, because the human part is what's going to improve the relationship and then make the gift come out at some point. So when you think about this, just use your imagination. And again, the brilliant part that Bridget and Vish did in thinking about this is, like, if you go to ChatGPT, there's a lot of junk out there, right? You know, there's good information and there's bad information that's there. This is trained just on Catholic philanthropy. That's all this is trained on. So we didn't have it learn anything else. We had it learn about things that were important for Catholic philanthropy. And so now you can ask it that question, and it's going to bring that up and use that. So this should be an opportunity, because I was with some parishes last week, like out in some rural dioceses. We don't have a lot of resources sometimes. You know, at some of the places, there's not 10 people there on staff to do this. So how about if you can make it, you know, that one volunteer can do this and you help them get the questions right? You know, how about if you help the pastor understand some of these things that are going to make a big difference? So again, that's one of the neat things about this now, is we're giving people resources that used to be a lot harder to get to.
It isn't that you couldn't have done this, but now you can do it so much easier, and so why don't we? You know, why don't we take the time and say, hey, you know, your kid was baptized last year. We want to remember you. Or as Vern is saying here with some of this stuff is, why do we look at any email that we send as a monologue? Like it's just a thing here, you know. How about if all the emails during October that we sent out, in addition to having a transaction response, had something like, hey, would you like to send a prayer request? And our diocese is going to pray for you, your family on All Souls Day and All Saints Day. You know, these are all the things that we can do with these tools now, because this gives us the opportunity to create a dialogue more than just a monologue.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, as a pastor, a personal touch is always important. You know, so is there a notes section in the software where I can put, you know, Mrs. McGillicuddy tends to like to talk a lot. So email needs to be a little bit more tough. Charlie is saying the go-charger stand.
Right.
They may not know these people, and then they go through and say, oh, this is the person that goes to 11:45, and this, they sit in this particular place. Now, that's going to be a lot of extra work, I'm sure, for the secretary or whoever it is, inputs the information.
Right. Love that. So we do have a notes section, on the profile. You can, you know, it's free text field, right? You can type anything. You can make it sticky, meaning anybody at your organization who has the right credentials can see it. Right now, the guru is not looking at that field. So, it's in Give Central being the online donation tool of choice for whatever the organization is. Our notes are usually, when I go through an audit, it's like, hey, you know, Sally called and needs to cancel her pledge. Here's when I did it, right? So it's more utilitarian use. So I'm guessing a lot of that, you know, Bridget plays tennis on Tuesdays, you know, whatever the facts or the interests, things like that, might be in the database. But I'm going to text Vish after this and add it onto my list because, we have like a growing list of like, hey, throw a spaghetti at the wall. Like, let's see, is it possible? What can we do? And if that sort of information is able to be pulled over or extracted from the database, I'm guessing he'll try to figure out a way to incorporate that because that's a pretty cool idea, especially for major givers, right? I talked a little bit earlier about, hey, if Sally goes online on Friday night and she makes a $10,000 gift, you want to thank her by Sunday night, right? So, but if you want to customize that, you're not going to look at this on Saturday, or at least I hope not, you know, on Saturday or Sunday. But if we have some of that information, you know, Sally likes fishing and spaghetti and meatballs or, you know, whatever it is, if we could customize it, that'd be pretty cool too. So I will ask the question, but yes, we do have a notes field, but no, it is currently not being used, in that way, but that's a cool idea. Yeah. Any other questions? Anything else you want me to ask it? Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Training the guru. Yeah. So, we started the guru project, last October, November. What we had it do first, as Patrick mentioned, we only had it learn our own information first. We didn't set it loose on, you know, the whole internet. And, we had to take, what we did first is we had it take our FAQs. So all of our FAQs, our help, our content is all basically in a wiki. And so we converted the wiki PDFs, videos over into vectors, which is what the AI needs to, they can't read a PDF, they have to read vectors, or it has to read vectors. It learned it. We started asking questions. And that's when we figured out, hey, donors and profiles are not the same thing. So when we're asking how many donors give to this, it's providing back number of profiles, which is not quite analogous. So then we made new FAQs, fed it new vectors, to teach it different items. And so we continue to do that as we release new features, because the part of Guru that's live, excuse me, that's live today, is our content creation and generation and, anything FAQ related. So we kind of have to keep teaching it, as we release new features, but also new engagement content. Any other questions? I'm sorry, it's so hot in here, you guys. I keep seeing everybody using the fans. Is it coming on? Okay, good. any other questions? The last slide we hadn't been able to go over yet is converting pledges to recurring. So as more and more organizations are looking to change the model, increase your recurring, sustaining, ongoing gifts, you probably still have some people who are doing legacy pledges. Instead of asking them to make a new gift and go through the whole gift process again, why not just convert it from a pledge into a recurring or sustaining ongoing gift transaction? So again, they can do that very low friction, and then their recurring gift is set up. They don't have to do anything else. There's no re-entry of payment method on that. Again, yeah, that's all I have. If there's any other questions, we'll stick around here for a little bit. We are also in booth 410 and 412 down in the exhibit hall if you guys have any questions. And thank you again so much for joining us so early, in this hot and humid room in New Orleans. Thank you so much.